ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 22 एंटाइटल्ड बलि महाराज सरेंडर्स हिज लाइफ टेक्स्ट नंबर 5। त्वं नूनं असुराणां नाम परोक्ष परमो गुरुः यौननेकमन्दमन्धानां विभ्रंसं चक्षुराधिशात् त्वं नूनं असुराणां नाम। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Since your lordship is indirectly the greatest well-wisher of us demons, you act for our best welfare by posing as if our enemy. Because demons like us always aspire for a position of false prestige, by chastising us, you give us the eyes by which to see the right path. Purport. Bali Maharaj considered the Supreme Personality of Godhead a better friend to the demons than to the demigods. In the material world, the more one gets material possessions, the more he becomes blind to spiritual life. The demigods are devotees of the Lord for the sake of material possessions. But although the demons apparently do not have the Supreme Personality of Godhead on their side, he always acts as their well-wisher by depriving them of their positions of false prestige. By false prestige, one is misguided, so the Supreme Lord takes away their position of false prestige as a special favor. So in this beautiful description where Bali Maharaj is at a stage where rather than lamenting over his miserable situation, over his plight, here is glorifying the Lord and considering the Lord to be his best well-wisher. And as the verse says, that Bali Maharaj considers the Lord to be more merciful to the demons than to the demigods. And what is the basis of this consideration? Because he understands that when the Lord is showing his mercy to the demigods, that mercy is coming only in the form of material possessions. And he also had those material possessions. But what was the result of those material possessions? People get blinded to spirituality. And therefore, when the Lord takes away all the material possessions, then Bali Maharaj is saying, by chastising us, you give us the eyes by which to see the right path. And that is considered as the best of all benedictions. If somehow or the other, if the person is empowered with the ability to be on the proper path, irrespective of what happens, what the Lord does to him, then that is the best benediction which a person can have. And the person who is giving such a benediction can be the best well-wisher of such a person. Why? Because he is showing him the right path, not bewildering him from the tract of the goal of life. So, normally, when people engage in devotional service to Krishna, and before engaging in devotional service to Krishna, when they are worshipping or before coming to the platform of pure devotional service, every person has to pass to the platform of devotional service or a stage of devotional service where he begins worshipping the Lord, but the consideration is desire for material benedictions. Because he has been worshipping the demigods with the same mentality, therefore, when he comes to Krishna also, that same mentality, the same conditioning is carried on till a certain stage of time. And therefore, with this conditioning, he also begs or desires for material benedictions from the Supreme Lord Krishna. But what is the difference between the demigods and Krishna? Demigods will give you what you desire, but Krishna will give you what he wants and what he considers best for you. The demigods don't think about that. Is not their part of responsibility to think that whatever we are giving to this person, whether it will be ultimate good for him or not. But that is not Krishna. Krishna sees the future, not just the present. and taking the future into consideration, he does not award anything blindly. And he does what is ultimate best for that devotee. So, but what happens is, to such a devotee who has not advanced fully, when his material desires or when his definition of Krishna's mercy or his definition of mercy does not match with the mercy of Krishna or with the definition of Krishna, then he gets disturbed. Because he has a certain definition of mercy, he has a certain understanding as to what Krishna's mercy is. Only when those things happen, then you feel that yes, Krishna is very merciful unto me. If we are saved from some material situation, material conditionings, we say Krishna is so merciful. That is our conception. But that may not always match with what Krishna's definition of mercy is. Krishna may give mercy in any form what he likes. And it is only the advanced devotee who can understand, who aligns or who matches his definition of mercy to the definition of what Krishna considers mercy to be. Only then a person can go ahead and progress. But if a person, if that neophyte devotee, does not align his definition with the definition of Krishna, then he tends to become atheist, he tends to become agnostic, and he tends to deviate from the path of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, it is very essential for every sadhaka, for every devotee who is progressing on this path of devotional service, to align his line of thoughts, to align his way of thinking, to align his definitions, to align what he considers Krishna consciousness to be what exactly, what Shastras have to say, what Guru have to say. Otherwise, he will be simply a failure and his life will be miserable. So, but as he progresses on, as he goes ahead in the spiritual life, then with that advanced knowledge, with that realization, the person is able to see that, yes, no matter what happens, but Krishna is my ultimate well-wisher. And that is what is the stage which Bali Maharaj is. Even though Vamandev has completely conquered him, deprived him of all his opulences, completely have turned him into a pauper, a beggar. But what is he seeing? He's seeing, my dear Lord, you are the best well-wisher. You are Surida Sarva Bhutanam. You are the ever-well-wishing friend of us, of mine. That is a sign of an advanced devotee. But the beauty of Krishna is, he reciprocates with his devotees in a way he likes. He never thinks, oh, this devotee is demanding something from me, so let me align myself to the desires of those devotees. Krishna reciprocates, no doubt. And it is, a devotee should not have even a single element of doubt whether Krishna is reciprocating or not. Krishna is right from day one. The moment you desire to surrender yourself unto Krishna, from that day onwards, from that moment onwards, Krishna desires to reciprocate with you. But it is only up to us whether we feel that reciprocation or not. So Krishna reciprocates many times in a positive way, or in a way in which we like, or in a way what we desire. But majority of the time, the functioning of Krishna is, he reciprocates in a way which may not at all be pleasing or palatable to us. And that is the most difficult situation for a devotee. And as Bali Maharaj is saying here, my dear Lord, you are reciprocating with me through your chastisement. So this is one of the way in which the Lord reciprocates with his dear devotees, not any devotee. When the Lord chastises, he does that with his dear devotees. So there are different examples. If you see in the Shastras, Bhagavatam, or especially in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Lord is reciprocating. This mood of chastisement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very much predominating in the different parts of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Chaitanya Leela. So the Lord may chastise you by simply neglecting you. He may not even consider your presence. And that is very beautifully depicted in the Shat Prahari Leela. When the Lord was awarding benedictions to each and every devotee, all the devotees were receiving their desired benedictions. But there was one person whom the Lord did neither call him inside, nor did even consider his presence, that whether he's existing in that place. And all the devotees were thinking, everybody has got the chance, everybody has got the benediction. But what about Mukunda. He's there inside and Lord is not even considering him. But then Srivas Thakur, out of his causeless affection for Mukunda, approaches Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. My dear Lord, you are Mukunda, your beloved devotee. The person, when he sings, you go mad, you go into ecstasy. You always want to have his association. But now, you are not giving your mercy to him. You are not considering him. The Lord simply just neglected. Why? Because the Lord considered that he has a dual role. He is a duplicit devotee. Why? When he is in the association of devotees, he speaks about Vaishnavism. He speaks about Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He presents himself with all humility. But when he is in the association of Mayavadis, he speaks according to them. So therefore, sometime he comes before me like a straw of blade in his teeth with all humility, and at the other times, he comes with a rod of iron to hit me. So I cannot bear such a devotee. I even don't even consider to speak to such a devotee. I don't even consider to look at such a devotee. Right. The Lord simply neglects. The Lord may sometime use harsh words. He may call you, or even if the devotee presents himself before that devotee or before Krishna, the Lord will speak in such a harsh way that will completely break your heart. He will chastise you. And that is beautifully seen during the Rath Yatra festival. Maharaj Pratap Rudra, he always wanted to have the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to have some service, at least some reciprocation with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Mahaprabhu was fixed, determined in his way of thinking that I cannot meet any king, a person who is addicted to wealth and women. I cannot associate with such a person. But then too, Sarum Bhattacharya. Sarum Bhattacharya and all, they arranged a plan so that enter the circle where the Lord is dancing during the Rath Yatra. But Lord had already seen Maharaj Pratap Rudra sweeping the floor. And seeing his humility, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was attracted. He decided to shower his mercy, but externally, still, he was not coming. Externally, he was not ready to give mercy to Maharaj Pratap Rudra. And Mahaprabhu, when the kirtan started before Lord Jagannath, Mahaprabhu was dancing in ecstasy. And in that ecstasy, when Mahaprabhu fell down, because all the associates, Nityananda Prabhu and everyone, were away from Mahaprabhu, they could not catch Mahaprabhu from falling down. And the only person who was close was Maharaj Pratap Rudra. And as soon as Lord Chaitanya fell into the arms of Maharaj Pratap Rudra, Lord Chaitanya could not externally tolerate that. And what is he saying? Raja dekhi Prabhu kore na dikkar. He condemned him. And in what words? Chi chi. Mahaprabhu is the word. Chi chi vishaye rasparsha hoila amar. Imagine, if you call a beggar chi chi or get out, you will not matter or consider, because that is what he used to. But here is a king who is the organizer of the whole festival, is the king of entire Odisha, and here is a sannyasi calling him chi chi. People may be hankering to have touch his lotus feet, to have his association, to have his audience, and here a sannyasi telling chi chi. Dhikkar is condemning himself. So such harsh words. And hearing such harsh words, Pratapudra Maharaja simply became fearful and he just left from that place. But still, Sarum Bhattacharya, don't worry. Sarum Bhattacharya is convincing, don't worry, you'll get the audience. So this is one way of Lord's chastisement. And other way may be, at least, even if somebody chastises, speaks something that is tolerable, at least he spoke something, at least he considered me, a devotee can at least have that much satisfaction. But if a Lord does not say anything and completely neglects you, that is worse. And neglects to such an extent that he does not even care after his neglect or after his chastisement what you are, where you are, and what is your position. And that is what happened with Kala Krishna Das. Mahaprabhu was there, or Kala Krishna Das was there with Mahaprabhu through his entire travel of South India. But when that incident took place, when Kala Krishna Das was attracted by the Bhattaharis or captured by the Bhattaharis, Mahaprabhu just goes to the Bhattaharis, gets him by Shikha, but at that time he does not speak anything. Does not speak anything, just gets him back to his service. And as soon as Mahaprabhu reaches Jagannath Puri, all the devotees come to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And after Sarvam Bhattacharya introduces all the devotees to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because that is the first time when Mahaprabhu is actually going to stay in Jagannath Puri. After the introduction, Mahaprabhu tells all the devotees to please vacate the place, and he has to have personal audience with Sarvam Bhattacharya. So Mahaprabhu calls Sarvam Bhattacharya, and he also calls Kala Krishna Das. And what does he tell Sarvam Bhattacharya? Ebe ami iya ani kailo na vidai yaha ichha yae ama sane nahi aradai. Now that I have brought him here, it was my responsibility. I took him with me throughout this throughout my travel, but now I am finishing my responsibility by getting him back here and also handing him over to you. Now I have nothing to do with this devotee. No matter where he goes, no matter where he stays, I have completely shed off my responsibility. I am no longer responsible for him. Imagine such a neglect. But the Lord is completely chastising in such a way that he does not even consider your presence. He completely abandons you. Such a miserable plight for any devotee, who has, especially for a person who has been constantly tasting, associating, serving the Supreme Lord. Such a person to be neglected or to be abandoned, miserable, can't think of. But at least here, Kala Krishna Das, who later on engaged by Nityananda Prabhu and Damodar Pandit, was engaged in Krishna's service or in Mahaprabhu's service through preaching his glories, through describing the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that took place during his travel. But here we see one more character who has been neglected to such an extent, to such a degree, that the Lord even does not consider whether he is alive or whether he is dead, to that extent. And here in the Antalila of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrit, in chapter 2, we see the description of the chastisement of Chota Haridas. Completely, actually this pastime, when you read this pastime, you can understand the subtlety and the sensitivity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his, or in following his principles, especially the principles of renounced order of life. So here, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Jagannath Puri, and one day he is being invited by one of his dear devotee by the name Bhagavan Acharya. So Bhagavan Acharya invites Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his place for prasad. So that was the usual custom. Mahaprabhu regularly or more often used to take lunch prasad at the house of different devotees. That was a regular feature there. And one day, Bhagavan Acharya decided that let me invite Mahaprabhu to my place for prasad. And that day, he decided to cook some rice and some vegetables. But because he was inviting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for prasad, he didn't have the best quality of rice. And that quality of rice was available with one devotee, with the sister of Shikhi Maithi, whose name was Madhavi Devi. So Bhagavan Acharya employs or engages Chota Haridas to go to her and get that rice so that he can cook and serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that time, Chota Haridas was in the renounced order, and it was not that Madhavi Devi was a very attractive, beautiful young lady. Normally, the tendency is, if a sannyasi or a person in the renounced order, any person generally, if he approaches any young lady who is very slim, trim, beautiful, very attractive, then you may say, okay, you get interacted with her, there is chance of fall down. But an old lady, here Kaviraj Goswami describes, she was a vriddha, she was tapisvini, but her quality was, she was Parama Vaishnavi. Prabhupada, she is a great devotee. Normally, when you see devotee Matajis, even a young girl also will see, there's naturally a respect that comes because she's a devotee. Not as compared to when you see other girls who's not a devotee. There's a lot of natural respect is there. So she's an old lady, she's a tapasvini, she's a performing great austerities, and she's a great devotee also. So Chota Haridas goes to her, gets some rice, hands it over to Bhagavan Acharya. Bhagavan Acharya cooks that rice. Mahaprabhu comes, accepts that prasad. And while eating that prasad, he glorifies that rice, he appreciates that fine rice, And while the time, by the time he was eating, in the process, he puts one question to Bhagavan Acharya. Uttama anna eta tandul kahate paila. He says, this uttama, this topmost quality of rice, my dear Bhagavan Acharya, where do you get it from? Acharya kahe madhavi pas magiya anila. This was brought from Madhavi Devi, sister of Shikhi Maiti. Right? And then the Lord says, Prabhu kahe konayae magiya anila. Who went there? Is it you who went there to get the rice? Or did you send someone? Chota Hari Das Nama Acharya Kohila. Bhagavan Acharya says, no, my dear Lord, it is not me. I have sent Chota Hari Das to get this rice for you. But Mahaprabhu, at that time, does not speak anything because he does not want to spoil the mood. He just eats the prasad and leaves that place. Anna prasham shiya prabhu bojana korila nijagrihe asi govindera agya adila. He glorified the rice, he glorified the prasad, and he came back to his residence, Gambira, and called for Govinda. And because Govinda was his personal associate, he could speak his heart. And he tells Govinda, Aji hoite ei mora agya paliba, that today I pronounce an order, and all of you, especially you, Govinda, have to follow that. And what is that order? Chota Hari Das iha asite nadiba. Don't allow Chota Hari Das to come into my circle. I don't want to have his association, and he should not come close to me. Then from that day onwards, they started following that. And Chota Hari Das actually came there because he was not knowing what had happened. Dwara mana hoila hari dasa dukhi hoila mane ki lagiya dware mana keho nahi jane. But then Junior Hari Das, when Chota Hari Das was ordered that you are not allowed to enter or approach Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he could not understand. And in that bewildered state, he became very unhappy. And not only he, neither even Govinda could also not understand. Because nobody knew what the inner mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was. Everybody was bewildered. And all the devotees, when they came to know about this incident, even they were bewildered. That why did Mahaprabhu, or why is Mahaprabhu not allowing Chota Hari Das to come close to him? What has Chota Hari Das done? Everybody was bewildered. Kona aparadha Prabhu, koila Hari Das. They started inquiring to Mahaprabhu. Kilagiya dware mana. Kare upavas. What great offense has Junior Hari Das committed? Why has he been forbidden to come to your door? He has now been fasting for the last 3 days because you are not giving your association to him. My dear Lord, please tell us. All the devotees were in a miserable situation. So that is what a sign of advanced devotee is. When they see other devotee not getting mercy, they become miserable. And they approached. They dared actually. Because Mahaprabhu is not a person who will hear anybody's questions or would like to answer anyone. Because when somebody else does something which is against what Mahaprabhu wants, he will just get out from that place. I will go to Alarnath. That was the usual statement which Mahaprabhu used to say. I will go away from your association. So if you all want with me to be with you all, then please don't ask any questions. But still they dared for the benefit of Chota Hari Das. Then the Lord replied, Prabhu kahe vairagi kare prakriti sambhashana. Dekhite na paro ami tahara vadana. The Lord replied, I cannot tolerate seeing the face of a person who has accepted the renounced order of life but who still talks intimately with a woman. Prakriti sambhashana. I cannot tolerate. I cannot think of being with or associating with such a person. And such, there are very heavy purports which Bhaktisiddhanta gives. He says, the quality of a devotee is simplicity, saralta. That is the first qualification of a Vaishnava. Whereas cunningness or duplicity is a behavior which is a great offense against the principles of devotional service. As one advances in Krishna consciousness, one must gradually become disgusted with material attachment and thus become more and more attached to the service of the Lord. He should give up this duplicit mentality. If one is not factually detached from material activities but still proclaims himself advanced in devotional service, he is simply cheating. and no one will be happy to see such a behavior, such a cheating behavior. This is the answer which Mahaprabhu gives to his devotees. And then he says, so strongly do the senses adhere to the object of their sense enjoyment that indeed a wooden statue of a woman attracts the mind of even a great saintly person. What to speak of life figure? Even a wooden doll attracts. I remember, I don't know whether I should discuss, because as a part of my hobby, when I used to go to studios to learn sculpturing, in that studios, people used to make all these dummies, what you see in the cloth shop showrooms. Women standing there, girls standing there. That was the major business. And when you see those dummies in the showroom, they are properly dressed. But in the studio, all of them are naked. So one day, early morning when I went to, you know, to learn there, as regularly I used to go during my vacation. And there were two, three of those people that were working. I saw them kissing that doll, you know. I was thinking, what is this? At least if you think of kissing some live thing, that is a made of POP doll. Dummy made up of POP. And people are trying to embrace and that, trying to exchange their loving dealings with that. So that time I thought, okay, it might be like that. Why they are doing it? But then after reading, they appreciated what Mahaprabhu is saying. That even people are attracted to wooden doll. So how much careful one should be. Even if you are walking on the road and passing through some mall, especially if you go to Worli and that's at big malls, you find dummies dressed in such nude, you know, minimum of clothes. And you may feel, oh, it's only a dummy, let me see. But even that thing can or become the cause of your fall down, according to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then one should not sit, quoting Chanakya Pandit, from Manu Samhita, he says, Matra, the famous verse, Matra Swishwara Dvita Vana Vivikshito Vikshano Bhavet Balavan Indriya Gramo Vidvamsam Apikarishati. One should not sit closely with one's mother, sister or daughter, for the senses are so strong that they may attract even a person advanced in knowledge. So these are the instructions which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through Haridas pastime, is instructing all people in the renounced order to at least endeavor to follow. And then he says, there are many persons with little in their possession who accept the renounced order of life like monkeys. They go here and there engaging in sense gratification and speaking intimately with women. And after saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered his room. Seeing him in such an agony mood, all the devotees fell silent. Nobody ever dared to ask further because they got their answer. But still, that question still remains. It was not, and actually if you analyze this pastime, it was not that Chota Haridas went there intimately, oh Mataji, how are you? What are you doing? What did you cook? And then after speaking for 15-20 minutes, then he says, please give me some rice. The description is not there. He just went there, brought the rice, finish. But see the sensitivity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in following the principles of renounced order. There should be no element of intimacy. Even while in the name of service, we know that at least you should associate, person with renounced order should associate, first of all, not associate with Mataji's, but even if you need to associate, it should be only for the sake of service. But even in the name of service, there may be fall down. So then, in that situation also, we have to be so careful. And then, Mahaprabhu, for one year, Mahaprabhu does not give him the audience. And he's just crying. He gives up his eating, but then the devotee is convinced. Now, if you become, you know, if you are fixed up, determined that I will not eat till Mahaprabhu gives me his audience, or reciprocates with me, or calls me back, Mahaprabhu is much more, you know, jiddi than you. He will not tolerate that. So therefore, don't agitate Mahaprabhu more. Just eat it. So he follows the instruction of Nityan Prabhu and all the associates, and he, Swarup Damodar Goswami, and he eats prasad. He eats food with a hope that today, tomorrow, day after, Mahaprabhu will call me back to his association. But 1 year passes. Mahaprabhu does not show any signs of reciprocation. And then Chota Haridas decides one day that I cannot survive anymore. I cannot be without the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then one fine day, he decides to go to Prayag at the confluence of Ganga, Jamuna and Saraswati. He decides to commit suicide. And he is successful. That is Mahaprabhu's neglect. That is Mahaprabhu's mercy. If he neglects you, That is how Mahaprabhu or Krishna will chastise you. Even he may take you to that extent, he may bring to a stage where you may end up your life. But how will you understand that as the mercy of Lord? How can one say, "Arey, mar gaya ho to? Kaisa Bhagwan hai? In aankhon ke samne apne bhakton ko marte hue dekha? What sort of mercy is this?" But after 1 year, Mahaprabhu calls his devotees and he starts inquiring, "Where is Haridas? Where is Haridas? Now you may bring him here." After 1 year. But that time, my devotees replied that, "My dear Lord, one night at the end of full year, he has went away from this place and we don't know where he has gone. We have no news about him." And while hearing the devotees' lament, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was mildly smiling. And all the devotees were very much astonished. Hearing this news, Mahaprabhu is smiling. They were not able to understand that. And then, one day, all the devotees, headed by Jagadananda, Swarup Damodar, Govinda, Kashishwar, Shankar, Damodar and Mukunda, when all of them, they went to bathe in the sea, they were able to hear Haridas singing from a distant place, as if calling them in his original voice. And all of them felt, because they had got the news, one devotee had come from Kashi, he had given the news that Haridas has committed suicide. And we normally know that if one commits suicide, voluntarily ends his body, destroys his body, he becomes a ghost. So all of them felt that Haridas has become a Brahmana ghost. So then they started saying, "We cannot see his material form," they said, "but still we hear his sweet singing. Therefore, he must have become a ghost." But then Swarup Damodar Goswami protests. He says, "This is a false guess. Ajanma Krishna Kirtana, Prabhura Sevana, Prabhu Kripa Patra Ara, Shetrera Marana." He cannot become a ghost. Why? Because he is the person who has chanted Hare Krishna Mahamantra throughout his entire life. He has served the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And moreover, he was dear to the Lord and he died in a holy place. So such a person cannot become a ghost. Haridas could not have been degraded. He must have attained liberation. This is the pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You all will understand it later. Because Swarup Damodar Goswami, being the intimate associate of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, understood the mood and the position what Haridas or Chota Haridas had attained. And then, even Mahaprabhu, when he heard the details, he smiled. He again smiles. But before that, Chota Haridas used to regularly come and sing for the pleasure of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the same way. So he did not give up his service. Even though his body was ended, his service was not destroyed. The same thing happened with Kalakrishna Das. The Lord rejected Kalakrishna Das, but through his devotees, the Lord engaged him in his personal service of preaching his glories. And this is the mercy of the Lord. And therefore, even such a chastisement is welcomed. If you are chastised, but if you are still kept engaged in the service of the Lord, then that chastisement is welcomed. So this beautiful pastime we see in this Chaitanya Charitamrita about Chota Haridas. Then the question may come that why does the Lord do? Or why does, if the Lord wants to give mercy, why this way? Right? So that thing is explained. Why does Lord intend to chastise his devotees as a form of reciprocation? What does Lord wants to reciprocate in the form of chastisement? Or deprive a person of his opulences? So Bhagavatam 10th canto explains very beautifully in the conversation that takes place between Shukdev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj is asking to Shukdev Goswami that, "My dear Shukdev Goswami, I am very much desperate to know as to why do devotees of the Supreme Lord Krishna, who is all opulent, why do his devotees are deprived of all material opulences? Why they live the life of beggars? Why they don't have anything? Whereas Lord Shiva, who does not have any material possessions from externally, but you see his devotees, they are prospering. So this is some contradictory thing which I am seeing. So, oh Shukdev Goswami, please explain." So then Shukdev Goswami says, "This is not the new question. Because your grandfather Yudhishthir, he had also put the same question to the Supreme Lord directly. And that time, Supreme Lord had answered this question to you, to Yudhishthira Maharaj. And the same thing I am going to repeat what the Supreme Lord Krishna had told him. So then Shukadeva Goswami says, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Yasya Aham Anugrihnami Harishyeta Dhanam Shane Tato Adharmo Tejantyasya Svajana Dukha Dukhitam. He says, the Supreme Personality of God had said, if I am especially favored through someone, I gradually deprive him of his wealth, then the relatives and friends of such a poverty-stricken man abandon him. In this way, he suffers one distress after another. These words, which Prabhupada also remembered when his whole factory was in a complete loss, complete mess, when people cheated and he was completely bankrupt. He was not able to understand, but then, because he was also reading this pastime, he was across this, and then he understood. Because initially he was bewildered why things are happening, but then he understood that this is the special mercy of the Lord. So in this purport, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, they put very beautiful points. I would just like to read that. So in that purport, they give an analogy that why does the Lord deal with his devotees in such a way? Why does the Lord chastise his devotees or take away all the material opulences or whatever they have, as the Lord is doing here with Bali Maharaj, as an act of reciprocation? So they give an analogy saying that the Lord acts like a father. If a father wants to stop the play of a child, or if he, or the other way, if the father wants his son to go to school and get knowledge, what the first thing father does? Father interferes with his plays. He stops his, he restricts his plays. Don't play too much. Study now. Go to school. And the child may see, why my father is doing like this? Why is not allowing me to play? Why is not allowing me to enjoy? Why is the reciprocal like this? But then a person, when the same child grows up, he understands that was my father's love. If he did not behave in that way at that particular time, then today I would have not been what I am now. I would have not got this education. I would not been prosperous in my life. So then he understands that. And then he says, disciples say, happiness and distress are generated from the Supreme Lord. Supreme Lord desires. Happiness and distress generated from the Supreme Lord desires, however, leave no trace of material entanglement. Normally, when a person gets happiness or distress as a result of his karma, he suffers or he enjoys, but the residue of that is he gets materially entangled. But when the Supreme Lord inflicts happiness or distress in the life of his devotee, then when that person enjoys or suffers, after he finishes that, he does not get entangled into this material world. He becomes liberated. And immediately, his path back home, back to Godhead, is opened up and his immediate purpose is served. That is the special mercy of the Lord. But at the same time, it also depends on the mood of the devotee. As I said, a neophyte devotee may see it as, what is this? What is the Lord is doing? But if a devotee is advanced, he thinks that yes, even though now I may be suffering, but at the end, this suffering is going to end up with unlimited pleasure. Example is given of a stinging ointment. If somebody has infection of the eye, when you put that ointment, it is so burning, and its pain is unbearable for that moment of time. But when you regularly use that medicine, what happens? The infection of eye is cured and you have a healthy vision. That is how the Lord functions. And then the suffering which is inflicted upon a person helps to protect the confidentiality of devotional service by discouraging intrusion by the faithless people. So when the person becomes or tolerates that, his confidentiality of his devotional service is maintained. And one more point they give is, it increases the eagerness by which the devotees call upon the Lord to appear. In that distressful situations, the eagerness, the call becomes so intense and so severe that call forces the Lord to appear. Otherwise, if Prahlad and Dhruva would have not called intensely to the Lord would have not appeared as Narasimha. If the sages would have not called intensely, eagerly to be protected, to be saved from the sufferings from Ravana, Lord Ramachandra would have not appeared. If Advaita Acharya would have not called intensely for the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then Mahaprabhu would not have appeared. So even though these conditions may appear difficult, unbearable, but in those situations, if we take it as a positive, in a positive way, and call out intensely and eagerly, that call can make the Lord appear before you. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a very beautiful purport to that. He says, it is at night that the sunrise becomes more attractive. You can appreciate the sunrise only at night. It is in the hot summer that cold water gives comfort. It is in winter that warm water is pleasing. It is the lamplight that is attractive in darkness, and it is the hunger or the distress of the hunger that makes the food very tasty. As they say, you know, bhook na deke basi baat, something like that. And neen na deke tuti khat. So when you are hungry and you are literally suffering, miserable, then whatever comes before you, you relish that food becomes very attractive to you. And similarly says, therefore to strengthen his devotee's mood of dependence on Krishna and longing for Krishna, the Lord arranges for his devotees to go through some suffering. And when he appears to them in order to deliver them, then their gratitude and transcendental pleasure are boundless. So why does the Lord does like this? Just to increase the gratitude and the transcendental pleasure of his devotees. And then the Lord says that why I put my devotees into distress. He says, when they are frustrated, when I take away everything from them, when they are frustrated in their attempts to make money and instead befriend my devotees, I bestow my special mercy upon such a devotee. And when such a devotee, in such difficult situation, when he befriends his devotees, when such a devotee fully realizes the absolute as the highest truth, and then that becomes the foundation of his, that becomes the foundation of his existence, and then he becomes free from the cycle of material life. So this is the purpose for which Mahaprabhu puts his, Krishna puts his devotees into that situations. So they can realize Krishna and experience that transcendental bliss. So similarly, when Bali Maharaj is being tortured like this, so-called torture, it's not torture actually, it appears like Vamandev is torturing. Vamandev cheated him. Actually, he's not cheating. The Lord cannot cheat. The Lord cannot cheat his devotee. But it is the Lord's reciprocation, so that Bali Maharaj can have more appreciation. Bali Maharaj can understand who this Vamandev is, and he can experience more than understanding who Vamandev is, more than his surrender, he wants even Bali Maharaj to experience that transcendental pleasure, so that in future he can have constant association of Krishna right in his kingdom when Vamandev decides to become the doorkeeper, giving up his Vaikuntha planets, giving up the association of Lakshmi. When the Lord desires to have the association of devotees, Vamandev wants that Bali Maharaj to relish that transcendental relationships. That is why, to make it more tasty, more attractive, the Lord puts his devotees in such a miserable situations by chastising them to different degrees. Again, it depends on the devotee, how the devotees take. But one thing one should understand, that the Lord is not going to test beyond his capacity. Even to the extent, even say, Chota Ardas, he committed suicide, but that is what was his capacity. So we had, when I was in school, around 5th standard or 6th standard, there was one chapter in Hindi textbook, Pratikriya Jeevan Ke Uttam Kasoti. It was entitled like that. So in that, there are four people, those who have done some robbery, committed same offense. So all the four thieves are brought to the court before the king. And the king gives four different types of, different grades of punishment to all the four of them, even though the offense is the same, crime is the same. So the minister gets bewildered that if the offense is the same, if the crime is the same, then why different punishment? So to the first person, the king just says, my dear thief, this is not good for you, this is not befitting to you, you should not do this, don't repeat, go away. To the second thief, the king chastised like anything, you rascal, you this, you that, how can you do this? And he leaves him. To the third person, he gives one slap. How can you steal like this? How can you do this crime? And the fourth person, the king says, take this person, shave up him, put chuna on his head, make him sit on a donkey, and take him around the entire village. So the minister gets bewildered. Why different types of punishment when the crime is the same? So the king says, I will answer this tomorrow. And meanwhile, the king employs one spy to check out the result or the effect of the punishment which he has inflicted on different types of these four people. So next day morning, the spy comes. And the king says, yes, what is your result? What is your study? What is the condition of these four people? So the spy says, the first person whom you just lovingly told, please don't commit this crime again. This is not befitting to you. He is not talking with anyone. He has completely locked himself inside the room. He's not meeting with any people. He says, okay. What about the second person? Second person, he has left the village. He felt himself so shameful, he left the village. What about third person? Third person committed suicide. And what about the fourth person? Was made to sit on a donkey and move around everywhere, and people were told, just pass, spit on him, throw dirty things on him. What happened to him? So the spies are telling that this fellow was so shameless that as he was moving around, and when the donkey came near his doorstep in front of his house, he's calling his wife. Wife is crying, oh, my husband is in such a miserable situation, he's in such a punishment. People are giving gali, people are doing so much things. What he's telling to his wife? Oh, my dear wife, please come here. Say what? Bole, pani garam karke rakhna, you know. Main just aake snan karke rakhta hun. So shameless, not affected by anything. Wife is telling you're being, you know, people are just speaking ill about you, people are spitting at you. Bole, ye to chalta rahe, kuch farak nahi padta hai. Tum pani ready rakhna, main aata hun, just 5 minutes mein ghum ke aa jata hun main. So such shameless people. So depending upon the person who takes it, the Lord will reciprocate like that. This was the concluding aspect of it. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Nitai Gaur Premanand.